Hey everyone, thanks for coming back to the Death Shifter Den to join us for a really exciting episode. Rose from the Ember Witch Saga will be joining the Valiant Five for an adventure within the Death Guide world. But before we get into that, let's talk about Death Shifter's future going forward. I think we've decided that the next episode, number 12, will be the final one in this ridiculous first season. Of course, it isn't the end of the Death Shifter story, just a break while we write season 2 and work on the Death Address. So, yes, the Death Address will continue on while we take this break from the story. Anyways, with all of that being said, what do you guys think? Your experiences so far, now that we're almost done with the whole season? What would you guys kind of like to see in Season 2? And what kind of character would you like to voice in Season 2?
Well, I can start, given that I've taken the fewest number of voices in Season 1.
Yeah, we were joking that we're going to have to rely on you for the couple of voices coming up.
Yeah, I'm not great at voices, so...
So if you had to... Tell me a character for you to voice. What would you choose?
Something not too difficult, I would say.
Well, like kind of character. Like race, creature.
I don't know. I like the ones where I can do like an altering type of voice. So like the gnomes that we did.
So you want more really deep or like really high-pitched voices so I can mess with it.
So then if I mess up, you can adjust it for me.
Okay.
But yeah, I would say, you know, that would probably be the type of voice I would prefer to do.
All right, let's keep it with the one question. Yeah. Go around first, Ethan or Andy?
I'm trying to think of what voices I haven't done yet.
but that's the thing. Like, if it was your pick, like, if you closed your eyes and, like, I want to voice that, like, you want to voice Smaug?
I don't know. I could probably throw in a Scottish accent on something somewhere. Like, I'm giving her all she's got.
Like a Scottish unicorn?
Yeah, that could work.
That would actually be cool.
I feel like, yeah, you could have like a unicorn wearing like a kilt or something.
All right, okay. I like it. Andy?
Yeah, thanks, Dakota, for asking this. I was kind of feeling something more.
I tried not to laugh. Thank you. First of all, I just want to say thank you for having me here.
Look, I was hoping for something a little more in the Eastern European realm, or maybe Norwegian, Swedish kind of region. Or Batman, you know.
Or Batman. I get you. You just like cop out on our whole entire region. Didn't even come up with a creature.
Like a bat creature, like a
okay.
I guess I'm already
or a Batman or man bat.
Some sort of Icelandic bat.
Icelandic bat. All right, that's cool. I just asked questions. I didn't really think about it myself, but if I had to now, we haven't had any like trolls kind of come up, so I feel like doing a fun troll voice.
You thinking like 80s troll doll or like under a bridge troll?
Well, Andy and I initially had some ideas for what our trolls were going to be in this world because of their normal tales of being under bridges, so we were going to take that and make it a little bit different. I'm not going to spoil it, because we could have it come up in episode 12 or season.
Maybe involve some troll tolls.
Season 2. No, I think we've mentioned trolls with like that troll train, but we haven't had our actual conversation of what they were going to be.
Oh, yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah. So, okay, so moving on. Next question, what was it? Your experiences so far that we're now almost done with the whole season, because I feel like the last time we asked this question, it was episode 3 or 4 or something. Now we're at episode 12 that we're about to record here in the next week or so. What are you guys' experiences or that you've enjoyed more so far, or unexpected journey that you've taken?
Yeah, hey, Andy again. Thanks for again. my experience has been pretty positive. I like all the different voices and experimenting with different voices and stuff. I think, you know, the majority of the season has been written by you, and that's been crazy. You've just taken the bulk of the work on the editing and everything else. So going forward, you know, it would probably be good to help out more and try to get in, like, the writer's room or something with you.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's kind of been busier than I have, so I've kind of taken on the role of doing the majority of it for now, which is fine because I've enjoyed doing it so far. The editing stuff started out really fun and then has kind of taken its toll.
Yeah, it's been a blast to read your content because, like, I don't write any of Vlad, but I love voicing the crazy weird guy.
I like writing the characters when you guys voice them too, to like picture you guys reading what I'm writing. Definitely helps.
Yeah.
So, you, Babe Jordan?
I don't know. It's just, it's a totally new experience. I've never done anything like this. Yeah. I mean, we played a little bit of D&D, which is kind of similar to creating your own character and getting into that, but yeah. I haven't ever done anything audio-wise, which also is my hesitancy with yeah. doing voices, but
yeah.
I don't know. I've really enjoyed it. It's been fun, and you guys are all really entertaining to listen to. And
maybe that'll be a thing that we do for season two is have everybody come up with their own created character to have pop up in the season, or we could do a special episode where the main characters turn into these creatures like yeah. somehow, and then they're them.
We could also do an episode where we write it based on chance and like dice rolls. Like,
oh, yeah, that would
like
be
a
cool.
full D&D session, but like
yeah, I would have to get you to help me with that, and you both yeah. of you, since you're more sure. D&D. I've only played it a couple of times, but it's been fun. So mm-hmm. Ethan.
Well, I mean, I guess it's been good experiences so far.
All right, cool. I like it. So, well, Ethan, since you had such a good answer for that one, we'll just jump right over to the last question with you. What would you like to see coming up in season two?
You know, just more fun and crazy antics and Clay turning into more and more crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, he turned into a few things, but I mean, there's
yeah, there were
there's
there
just
were a couple,
much more still.
There were a couple episodes where he kind of took a break from like dying.
Yeah,
you know, which was probably yeah. good in his for his sake.
Yeah,
Andy.
Yeah, I've harped on this a bit lately. I don't know if we've recorded me talking about it, but like an episode of A Day in the Life of the
I
Valiant
was
Five
just thinking
in
that.
The city, like Unity's mm. dream. That'd be fun to see.
Yeah,
yeah, just we
Slice of Life episode.
Yeah.
We had talked about that one, and that was my initial plan when I had wrote the like Snowy Wonderland episode. Mm-hmm. Where it's like they're gonna go in the city, and then as I was writing, all this stuff happened the way it happened, and that's where they ended up. So we didn't get to see like any of the city.
Shit happens, so. You know. It's you don't always get to have an easy day.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, it'll come in season two, obviously, because we need to see Unity's dream. I feel like at that time, too, we didn't have a title for the actual city. It was still
true.
Just up in the air of, like, what are we going to call this thing?
City is Cityton.
Yeah, we had New Cityton. So, okay, cool. Well, let's move on. And since we have a special guest joining us this week, we'll let them say a few words before we jump into the episode.
And I'm Rose, a droid EDM singer, podcaster, and today's special guest. After this episode, go check out my newly released song Resonance, which is available on all major streaming platforms such as Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, YouTube, and more. That's Resonance by R0-S3. Let's get the show rolling.
You guys should definitely check Rose out. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Episode 11, The Imp Fosters. The Forest of Madness gets closer to the Gray Shack. It stops, and Colin Strenn looks to Clay.
This is as close as you'll get. We'll make our move from here.
Clay walks to the edge of the forest and looks across the dark dirt wasteland between them and the shack.
Maybe I'll get some answers about my past. We have to get inside.
Wesley walks over and stands next to him.
Don't worry, man. Those imps can't stop us. Speaking of, I don't see any of them.
Barry flies over.
My pixie eyes and I don't see anything either. Think it's a trap?
Callie looks over at DG.
Well, our hooded friend here is probably entirely too baked to know, but have you ever seen it so barren over here?
DG thinks about it while looking at the redcaps.
I've only ever been over here when I need more of the good stuff. When I'm on my couch watching TV, I can see the other death guys walking in and out of it.
Miranda Celli nods her head.
He's high as shit right now, but he's right. Usually other death guides are walking around. This is the first time that we've ever seen it empty like this.
Colin Strenn walks out of the forest holding two knives. He raises them into the air while yelling.
Redcaps, on me! Be prepared for an imp ambush.
He marches forward with his army following behind him. Clay and his friends run with them and surround the shack. They continue to look around and see no signs of imps or other death guides. Garland Fell slowly approaches the door.
I'm just gonna open it.
He leans forward and twists the knob. Garland Fell runs and dives back to the others as the door slowly creaks open. Silence fills the air as everyone takes a deep breath. Clay walks forward with Herman and Callie.
So far, it looks like an ordinary shed. There are tools in here, though.
The three of them walk in. Herman grabs a shovel and holds it out the door.
This just looks like a bunch of old mining equipment. That's odd. Ooh, what's this? An old vacuum tube radio?
Callie scoffs.
That thing's older than I am. No way it still works.
Herman smiles while Barry and Wesley walk in.
Way to nerd it up in under 1.2 seconds, Herm.
Wesley laughs.
Don't you dare underestimate this orc daddy here. Herm will science all over you, or whatever he wants.
Herman shakes his head.
Ugh, don't say it like that, Wesley. It makes it sound gross. Guys, just look for a screwdriver and some wire.
Callie starts to look around while smiling.
Whatever you say, orc daddy. Here's some wire.
Clay finds a screwdriver and tosses it to him. He catches it and unscrews the back of the radio. Herman pulls the batteries out and wraps the wires around them. He places them back inside and screws the panel back on. A couple of seconds pass and he turns the knobs, switching it on. Static blasts through the speaker before a female voice comes through.
Codex 7745. Lone Wolf Protocol activated.
What? No. Deactivate? Shit, my navigation systems are damaged.
Designation R0S3 distress beacon active.
If anyone is receiving this, my name is Rose. I need your help.
Callie looks back at Herman, impressed.
You know, maybe we should reconsider this science lab thing.
He smiles while looking at Clay.
Clay, have you ever heard that name or recognize the voice?
Clay shakes his head.
No, I don't think I know who that is.
Wesley takes a closer look at the radio.
Whoever it is, they need help. And they have to be extremely smart to be able to get a message through on this old thing.
Barry continues to look around the shed. They grab a pickaxe and start swinging it around.
What's with all this mining equipment anyways? It makes no sense. Unless, you know, there used to be like miners here.
Herman runs over to them.
That's gotta be it. Check everything.
Vladimir von walks in to the friends frantically moving around the shack, grabbing the different mining equipment.
What's going on here? It's just a shed of mining equipment. Impossible.
Wesley looks back at him.
There's some sort of secret tunnel that this mining equipment was used for. Help us look.
Vlad joins them, searching around the room. They get all the equipment off the walls, but nothing happens. Callie sits on the ground.
After all of this, finding a human who can't die, whom I almost kissed, by the way, fighting fucking Myrmazons, getting called fucking surfy bros, finding a whiny-ass Yeti in Frost Springs, attacks on our annual ritual that is the Rain of Fire tournament, and dealing with the biggest penis to ever walk the planet for God knows how long, and we hit a dead fucking end. At this point, this has to be the biggest centaur shit I've ever been a part of.
She grabs a shovel and throws it at the wall. It pierces into a small crack that starts to glow orange. Clay walks over and grabs the shovel.
You found the way through, Callie. We just have to figure out how to open the door now.
Garland Fells runs in and pushes them out of the way.
Out of my way, laddies. I've seen what the imps do to get the orange light to appear in the shed. Step back.
He takes a deep breath before speaking an unknown language.
Hey, Varantarj Zalor Zrazif.
The shovel slides down the crack, causing the wall to slowly open. Vlad and the five friends walk through while Garland Fells and the other redcaps follow behind. An orange light flickers in the distance as they walk through a tunnel that looks like it was mined out thousands of years ago. They get to the end and stand before the orange light shining within a gate. Clay steps forward and the gate starts to open. A portal forms, revealing a silver and green city filled with cybernetics and imps. He turns back to the others.
This is it, our way through to the imps. Everyone ready?
They ready themselves, and he turns back and jumps through with the others following behind him. An orange burst of light shines brightly before being engulfed by the green energy. It fades away, and they're left standing in the city Clay just saw. Metallic buildings shoot upward from the ground, connecting to the ceiling. Herman looks around in awe.
Holy Orcoween, guys. We are still underground. Not only that, we didn't get teleported. It more or less seemed like a barrier of sorts.
Barry flies into the air. They look around at the city.
Whoa! Hey, guys. All this green energy flowing through everything sure looks a lot like the same shit Leviathan was on.
Callie runs and jumps onto Wesley's back.
Onward, trusty steed. Wesley scoffs.
Is this going to be a thing now? Because I think this is going to be a thing now.
He flies up next to Barry. Callie notices a horde of cybernetics standing with the imps. So the imps aren't hiding, like, at all. And there are a lot of cybernetics here. Like, a lot. Place has already given me the heebie-jeebies. Wesley nods.
From the looks of the city and how technologically advanced it is, my guess is that these cybernetics have been here with the imps for quite some time now, which doesn't bode well for us.
Herman looks over at Vlad.
Well, shit. Good thing Leviathan doesn't know about this place, or we'd be in way more trouble.
Vlad nods his head while examining the city closely.
Perhaps. Or mayhaps he would be able to help us in this situation. I don't think he would appreciate what the imps have done to his children here.
Barry scoffs.
Oh, quit always jumping to conclusions, Mr. Spooky Pants. Maybe the locals are actually friendly for once. See, look, everyone's forming around that stage with the giant speakers over there. It's a party.
They make their way to the crowd gathering around the stage and stand watching as a group of three cybernetics descend from a vehicle crawling along the ceiling. The last one is a cyborg wearing a red helmet. He has a microphone attached to his face.
Welcome back to the finals of the Cybernetic Idol. We're down to the last three in this long competition. I'm your host, Xander. First up will be the robot Velocor 78654. Second will be a cyborg, Ned Liran. And last will be the android known as Rose.
Ned Liran and Rose walk away while Velocor 78654 wheels to the center. The city dims while the lights shine bright on the stage. The robot takes a deep breath before starting to rap.
Yo, they branded us, and then they stranded us. This one's for all the cybernetics out there that know what the Robo Reserve is all about. We're free.
Herman looks around at their group and notices the red caps and DG pushing through the crowd to get closer.
Looks like the good stuff hasn't worn off yet, so we have to stay for this now. Plus, he said Rose, didn't he?
Clay nods his head.
Yeah, you think she's the one we heard on that radio?
Barry dances around them.
My name is Velocor. I'm from the streets of South Shore. Part of the fleet from the Reservoir. An artificially intelligent robot that's about to make you soar. I have been the sky, no gravity. Have at me, but I'll beat you into oblivion. And it'll throw off your equilibrium. But I only fight if you make me. I'm here to make peace. Robots, androids, cyborgs. We're free from the Robo Reserve. Free to live out our lives. And do what we deserve. A second chance, a new life. Digitin at a glance, it looks nice. Did my time, now I rhyme. I find the stage, cause a roar. Because what? My name's Velocor.
I guess we'll know for sure when she sings, but guys, dance party, let's boogie.
Callie smiles while dancing with Barry.
I mean, I'm all about having a good time, but just keep an eye out.
Wesley joins them and throws his fist into the air.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it doesn't seem like any of the imps or cybernetics really seem to care that we're here.
Vlad continues to watch the robot rap on stage.
No more barriers, no more lies. We're in this together, you gotta realize. Let's break this habit and make it right. Yo, it's time for us to unite. Hey. Androids, robots, cyborgs, and organics. Everyone this time.
We're free from the Robo Reserve. Free to live out our lives. And do what we deserve.
This place is very interesting. It has been well hidden. Even the iLegions couldn't find it. I wonder how they use the portals as barrier and that gate. These cybernetics and imps around us are all citizens.
Clay pats him on the back.
All we can do is blend in and wait for the right opportunity. This time, you don't have any intel on where we are. You're going to have to improvise and follow our lead.
Vlad scoffs.
Bleh. You say this as if it's a hard thing for me to do. I know how to improvise.
He follows Clay and starts dancing with the others. The robot gets done rapping and bows to the crowd before rolling off the stage.
Yo, we cybernetics are here to stay, and we're ready to live like the rest of you. I'm Velocor 78654. No longer are we branded and stranded on the Robo Reserve.
The cyborg, Ned Liran, walks on and clears his throat. A soft song with an acoustic guitar starts to play before they sing.
Time to learn. Time to laugh. It's the Death Address.
Callie and Barry wiped their eyes.
My God, he is as beautiful as a songbird. And so is his voice.
Barry agrees.
OMG, he's even hotter than Bustin' Jeeber.
Herman nods his head while putting his arm around Wesley.
I always wonder what it would have been like if I followed my music career. Ned and I sound similar. I would have been way better than Bustin' Jeeber.
Wesley laughs while patting him on the back.
I'm sure that's exactly how you sounded when you sang. It's definitely a good thing you kept with science there, buddy.
Vlad smiles while walking over to them.
Ah, I'm sensing kindred polymath spirit in you, Herman. I did little bit of this, little bit of that. The ladies, they loved my voice. We would win this concert if we were up there singing, yeah?
Herman nervously smiles before turning back to Wesley.
Yeah, good thing I kept with science. Vlad's kinda helped me see that just now.
The two laugh while watching Ned Leran finish his song.
Time to learn. Time to laugh. It's the Death Address.
The crowd claps while he walks off stage. Rose steps forward and the crowd goes silent. Rose bows and the crowd erupts in a cheering roar. Xander runs forward.
No need to even vote after that performance. The crowd says it all. Our winner of Cybernetic Idol is Rose.
An arm shoots out of the front of the stage holding a gold medallion. Xander grabs it and places it around Rose's neck.
The medallion is your prize. Use it to enter the Imp Citadel. When you scan it at the door, the imps will know. They'll come to you, and the tour will begin. Thank you for competing in Cybernetic Idol, and congratulations.
The lights on the stage turn off, and the rest of the city brightens back up. Rose starts to walk off stage, while Callie and Barry chase after her. Clay turns to the others.
After hearing her sing, it's definitely the same Rose we heard on that radio you fixed, Herm.
He nods.
I second that, Clay. We need to catch up to Callie and Barry before they freak her out, though.
Wesley grabs Vlad and flies after them.
We'll get there and have Mr. Smooth Talker here explain everything to her.
Vlad looks around, confused.
This is me you're referring. I don't know about Smooth Talker, but I'll take it.
Clay jumps on Herman's back, and the two chase after them as the crowd of cybernetics and imps scatter back into the city. Callie and Barry catch up to Rose, walking down the street toward an enormous octagon building with the city's green energy flowing into it.
Hey, hold on a sec. We need to talk to you.
Barry floats closer to her, but she puts her hand up to stop.
Jeez, I swear we aren't crazy stalker fans or anything. We just need to talk to you. Honest, we heard that transmission you sent on a radio outside of the city.
Rose stands staring at them.
You what? How is that possible? I sent that 10 years ago. That being said, the droids of this city responded immediately. However, getting any information on where I am has been impossible.
Wesley and Vlad catch up. Vlad jumps down and bows to Rose.
Hello, my name is Vladimir von Von Von. I am the mayor of Unity's Dream and co-founder of the Allegiance of Ice. And, well, a lot of other things, too. What my friends here say is true. We don't want to cause any harm or anything. We heard your transmission on the surface before coming down and hearing you sing. Oh, beautiful voice, by the way. Just fucking fantastic. And congratulations on victory.
She takes a couple of steps back before responding.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, Vladimir, but I have already been rescued. I've built a life here over the past 10 years. Your services are no longer required.
Rose turns away from the group, but stops before she could step away. The neon purple glowing segments that run through her body dim, and she shakes as if the air turned to ice.
Shit, my color is breaking down. I've been away from Haven too long.
Rose turns back around and stares the group over, her glowing eyes flickering as her power struggles to keep up with the demand.
You stated that there was a surface to this place, correct? Can I trust you to take me there?
Clay takes a step closer to her.
If there's anyone you can trust, it's these guys. They found me unconscious in a bush a little over a week ago, and now they're my best friends. We can help you. This is going to sound weird, but time passes differently here. You've really only been gone from your world for a few minutes.
She looks at the medallion before turning and pointing at the octagon building.
I suspected that there was more to this place than meets the eye. My power is fading away, and if I do not return to my world, I might die. However, there is a problem. When I arrived here, the creatures I have come to know as imps stole something from me. A sword of immense power. A weapon that in the wrong hands could destroy everything you hold dear. It was only by sheer luck that I arrived here and not in the empty void of space when the portal I opened with it imploded. Void knows what they have been doing with it all this time, but I have yet to feel it awaken.
Herman turns to Vlad.
Wow, that's interesting that your sword opens portals like the imps. They probably want to use its power to enhance theirs.
Callie slowly approaches Rose and reaches her hand out for hers.
So, honestly, bro, I'm not good at this shit, but if there is anything that I've learned from these punk-ass kids I have with me, it's that you deserve to be where you belong and feel a part of something.
Rose takes a couple of seconds while clenching the medallion tightly.
I belong nowhere. My only place is to watch over the Black Blade. Those around me never last.
Barry flies over and looks at the Octagon building.
So what exactly is the plan here? None of us really look like imps or cybernetics.
Wesley chuckles to himself.
To be fair, we've already been noticed in the city as ourselves. Maybe we just go in like this?
Vlad nods.
That is true. If it was a problem, whoever is in charge would have already come for us. It's up to Rose, but I think we should be okay following her into the citadel like this.
Clay stands next to Rose, staring up at the enormous citadel in front of them.
If the imps have your black blade, then it's only a matter of time before they take its power and leave you trapped here forever. We have to stop them.
Rose nods her head.
If the blade awakens, no living being would be safe. I'm guessing that the lack of color has something to do with its slumber. Either way, I agree. Getting that sword back is my only option to getting back to Haven.
Callie starts to walk toward the octagon building.
And how exactly did you come to possess this blade?
Rose follows behind her while clenching her fist.
I didn't choose to carry it. It chose me. The details of how and why are irrelevant.
Barry, Wesley, Herman, Clay, and Vlad run after the two and stand with them, looking up at the colossal entrance door. Rose removes the medallion from around her neck and holds it up. A couple of seconds pass before a golden eye appears on the door.
It appears that you have Irving's necklace. You must be the newest cybernetic idol winner. I see you brought some friends with you, outsiders.
Rose places the medallion back around her neck and stares up at the eye on the door.
Is that going to be a problem, or should I just bust the door down? You know the rules. The one that holds this necklace may enter no questions asked.
The golden eye begins to laugh.
No, it won't be a problem. No outsider has ever been within the Citadel, so it will be a momentous occasion, one that Irving will be excited for.
Clay turns around and looks at his friends.
Irving is the one Malachi mentioned to us. We need to find him.
The golden eye continues to laugh.
No need. Irving will be escorting you on a tour of Citadel. And here he is. Enjoy your time here and don't forget to stop in the souvenir shop before you leave.
The golden eye disappears and the door flashes orange before vanishing. On the other side stands an imp wearing a black suit with gold running through it. He adjusts his emerald green tie before waving them to come inside.
Welcome to the Imp Citadel. Please come inside.
Rose walks inside with the friends following behind her. Irving shuts the door behind them and points around at the building's scenery.
There isn't room for such a lush environment outside of the Citadel. Plus, the cybernetics don't care for it as much.
Rose scoffs.
You're mistaken. I find nature to be beautiful. Perhaps the others lack a soul, but I know what lies beyond this city. Something that you could never understand.
Clay agrees.
Some of them are part organic, and others were before becoming one. They have conscious minds like all of us.
Herman gets ready to join in, but Irving stops them.
I underestimated your passion towards the matter. Allow me to explain. Here in the city of Digiton, there is no need for it. Our cybernetic civilians require nothing more than the power that the buildings generate. That's why we keep the greenery and, well, needless things here in the Citadel. Think of it as a place for everyone to come and visit when they're in need of seeing our old world. Speaking of, how is it that you organics were able to find our hidden sanctuary?
Callie crosses her arms while looking around.
Sanctuary? Sanctuary? Looks like a fucking prison to me, Irv. As if we don't know who you are. The fucking audacity.
Herman stands tall behind her.
We know who you are, and all the trouble you've been causing for everyone.
Irving smiles while walking toward them.
Ah, it appears Malachi wasn't able to keep his mouth shut. Well, if you know that, then I suppose I can be honest with you.
Vlad jumps forward.
There is Marilyn. I've waited a long time to confront her for killing Camilla.
Irving gets a serious look on his face.
Marilyn is currently unavailable, but if you ask about her, then you must be the legendary Vladimir von Von Von.
He nods his head.
If you know of me, then I'm sure you've heard that you should not fuck with me.
Wesley stands ready to back him up.
Or the Valiant Five.
Irving smirks at them before bowing.
It is an honor to be in the presence of such greatness. Please, relax and enjoy your time here. It has been a very long time since we've had company from outsiders.
They follow Irving down the hall while looking through the different glass cases. Barry walks next to Rose.
So, since you're like an android, super cool by the way, what are your thoughts and feelings on all this like flora, fauna, nature junk?
Rose thinks to herself for a moment before smiling.
I was once like you. I felt the sun on my skin, the breeze through my hair, and the smell of roses. That was a very long time ago, however. There is a beauty to nature. The beauty of decay.
Irving chuckles to himself while stopping in front of another glass case.
And that's why we keep this memorabilia here in the Citadel, to help us remember who we are.
Wesley walks up to the glass and puts his hands and face against it.
And who is it that you remember? The despicable race of imps that terrorized everyone and everything. Holy shit, is that a dinosaur?
Herman runs over in excitement.
No way! It's alive too? How is that even possible? They went extinct like billions of years ago.
Rose gets intrigued and walks over to the glass with the friends.
Strange creature. I've never seen anything like it. You said they went extinct?
Callie gets sad while nodding.
First, a saber tooth, and now a dino? I have always wanted to see such a creature, and even in my long-ass life, I haven't even seen one.
Irving starts to continue the tour and walks down the hall again.
Come along now. There is much more for us to see. And all I'll say is that when you've opened portals for an eternity, you'll learn a lot about it.
The friends continue to walk behind him. Vlad turns and looks at Clay.
None of this feels right. Irving is taking us on this tour to stall us. He knows why we're here.
Clay nods while looking back up at him, leading the group with a smile on his face.
What are we supposed to do? We can't sneak away. He'll know. Rose trusted us and got us inside. I say we follow her lead and trust her.
Vlad starts to get uncomfortable.
I do not like not being in control. Perhaps that's why I feel this way. Fine, I will trust you and we can trust her. Trust. Woo.
Irving stops in front of another glass case.
If you thought the dinosaur was cool, then you'll love this. We were jumping through portals while testing out how far we could go. It turns out, we can go really far. We ended up in a different dimension with different worlds and creatures. We took one as a souvenir.
Clay approaches the glass and looks through to see a creature covered in fur.
Its face kind of looks like a cross between a mole and an ape. What do you call it?
Irving smiles while pulling a remote out of his pocket.
Why don't you ask it yourself?
He presses a button, causing a sliver of the glass to open. The creature runs forward and sticks his arm through, reaching for the friends.
Finally, you have to help me. I don't belong here.
Irving presses another button, shocking the creature inside the glass case.
We've talked about this. You only answer questions that are asked to you.
The creature stands to his feet and stays quiet while staring at them. Rose steps closer and looks at him.
I know how it feels to not belong. What is your name?
The creature places his hand on the glass.
My name is Islaya, and I am a Jothun. I'm here because Irving and his people opened a portal on my world while investigating. I was captured and brought here as their prisoner.
Irving presses the button on the remote, causing the glass to slide shut. He turns and continues down the hall.
All right, Islaya. Our guests don't want to hear your life story. Jeez, can you believe this guy? Let's continue to the next exhibit.
Vlad walks behind him.
What, are we just supposed to ignore the fact that you took this creature from a different dimension, brought him here as your prisoner? How does that help you and the other imps here?
Irving laughs.
I said many things had changed. I never said we were perfect. Jerry, you son of a bitch! Did you get those reports done?
Another imp wearing a green suit walks out from a door to the left of them. He bows to Irving.
Hey, the reports are done and on your desk. Sheila should have brought them to you this morning.
Irving looks back at him, embarrassed.
Sheila, you said? Oh, shit. I fired her this morning after bringing me wrongly prepared chocolate milk for the 5th day straight. I threw it, and it spilled all over her and the papers she was carrying. You're going to have to redo those reports, Jerry.
Jerry sighs deeply before bowing to Irving.
It took me a week, including working on the weekend and missing my daughter's star in the school play.
Irving walks over and places his hand on his back.
Oh, jeez. I'm sorry, Jerry. I didn't realize little Stacy was the lead in the play. How about this? I'll do the paperwork and you can leave early to make up some time you missed with your family.
Jerry stands tall while smiling at Irving.
Really? You'd do that for me?
Irving laughs while turning and walking away.
No, get back to work and get those reports done. You should have seen your face, though. Alright, come on. We have our last couple of exhibits to see before the tour is over.
Rose catches up to him and grabs his arm.
Xander told me that I'd see everything. You're forgetting a great many things, aren't you? Unless the promise was only a lie.
Irving scoffs while pulling his arm back.
I don't care if Xander lied to you about what you would see coming here. He isn't in charge. I am. And what I say goes. And you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it more, the tour is over. Yeah, I don't like being told how to live my life when I have random outsiders question what I do. Leave at once, or...
Before he can finish talking, the ceiling above him shoots open and Cassandra floats down on her broom. You have to be fucking kidding me. Vlad and the Valiant Five are here in the secret citadel that we spent thousands of years keeping hidden. What the hell, Irving? Vlad steps forward while staring at Cassandra, confused.
This is the first time in my life where I have no clue what's going on. What the fuck, Cass? Have you been working with the imps? How long has this been going on?
She hops off her broom and walks over to Irving. She kisses him before looking at Vlad. For someone who brags about their perception and knowing everything before it happens, you're an idiot. Everything has been right in front of you from the beginning. Irving smiles wide while pulling out the serum Leroy made for him. He drinks it and starts to morph into Malachi while laughing slowly.
I've had this serum for thousands of years, but your friend Leroy helped me perfect it. Not only us, but thousands of imps have been in front of you watching, spying, and betraying you.
Vlad's butler, Goulard Butler, walks into the room. He drinks the serum and turns into an imp.
I'm sorry, Vlad, but I had to for the sake of our mission. It hurts to say that I genuinely became your friend after all these years. Oh, and my name is Impard, not Goulard.
Tears form in Vlad's eyes as he looks over at Cassandra.
And you show your true self to me.
She pulls out a bottle of the serum and drinks it. Her body starts to morph until she stands before Vlad as an imp. He can't hold in his emotions and the tears drip down his face as he falls to his knees.
No! It can't be Marilyn! You killed my beloved Camilla, your daughter! You hit her right in front of me! We had a relationship at one point! How could you do this to me?
Marilyn approaches Vlad, but the Valiant Five jump in front of her. She smirks at them while stepping back toward Malachi. You can't stand in our way any longer. We have your android friend's blade. With it, I'll be able to raise the power of our portals. We have full control over not just our world, but infinite ones. Rose walks over and stands next to the friends.
The void you won't, not if my friends and I have anything to say about it.
Rose shakes again and in a moment of silence, something snaps in her.
All the colorless returns. I have been dreaming of your home.
Barry gets excited.
Oh my god, did she just say we're friends? Hold up, six forever plus Justin just doesn't roll off the tongue as nicely. Six for dicks, six for chicks, six for clicks, fuck, never mind. We'll sort it out later. Welcome aboard, Robo-Chum.
Callie looks her up and down as she stands tall in front of Marilyn.
Cybernetics has been out of the game so long, I forgot how damn sexy they are.
Wesley shakes his head.
I don't think Rose is interested in you or the check-sized baggage that comes with you.
Callie nods while turning her focus back to Marilyn and Malachi.
Big facts. Plus, I think I may have enough on my plate already with Frizzy.
Herman scoffs.
Damn it, Callie, stay focused. Marilyn's the one that caused all of this, even dating back to before Fade.
Clay nods while turning to check on Vlad.
Herman's right. If they've had imp spies everywhere, then they know pretty much everything about us. Vlad, we need you.
Vlad wipes the tears from his eyes while standing to his feet. He looks over at Marilyn.
What is it you want, Marilyn? Why go through all of this trouble after killing your daughter? What are you gaining from all this, other than my broken heart?
Malachi laughs while drinking more of the serum. He morphs back into the Irving and stands next to Marilyn.
Let's just say we're not working alone. Come on, let's get the blade and get out of here.
Marilyn smiles at Vlad. My daughter was a small sacrifice that led to Fade. We'll meet again, Vladimir Von, and you'll see soon enough that you have no chance of winning this war. Vlad reaches his hand out for her, but she turns and flies down the hall with Irving. Impard Butler stands in their way while more imps fly in and surround them.
Don't make this any harder than it has to be. Stand down, and we'll escort you back out of the citadel.
Vlad laughs.
You know me much better than that, Impard.
He chuckles to himself.
It was worth a try. I tried to push you away from all of this, Vlad, but you're too stubborn.
Vlad looks to Rose and the friends.
I'll handle Impart and the others. You need to get after Irving and Marilyn.
do whatever it takes to get that blade back to Rose.
They nod before running after them. The imps start to follow, but Impard stops them.
No, we stay here and defeat Vlad. Irving and Marilyn can handle those six.
The imps listen and surround Vlad. Clay and the others follow behind Rose, running after Irving and Marilyn. They pass by more glass cases filled with different creatures they've never seen before. Wesley stops and looks around at them.
We can't just leave all of them in prison like this. We have to do something. We have to help them.
Callie runs back and grabs him.
Whoa! Believe me, I would love nothing more than to help out all these poor creatures, but the fact is, we need to deal with Irving and Marilyn first.
Wesley clenches his fist before running behind Callie. They catch up to the others and turn a corner to a black staircase with green energy running down it. Herman steps over to it.
Well, this is interesting. The green energy is flowing down to an orange door.
Rose places her foot on the first step. The green energy flashes underneath her.
Xander warned me to follow the grass. I didn't know what he meant at the time, but I think I do now. Let's hope he wasn't lying through his circuits.
She starts to walk down the stairs, causing the energy to flash with every step she takes. Clay and his friends follow closely behind. Barry stops to investigate the door.
Hang on, I recognize these old ancient hieroglyphs from the old fae books my parents showed me.
They place their hand on the door and run it across the images. The green energy flows beneath them into the door, causing the stairs to go dark. The energy moves up, making a spiral pattern with an indent in the center. Callie pats Rose on the back.
Go ahead, we got your six.
Rose smiles at Callie before taking the medallion off. She walks over to the door and places it in the open spot. The energy flashes brightly before getting sucked into the medallion. The door slides open, popping it off. Rose catches it and puts it back on. It glows green while she turns to Callie and the others.
Your lack of trust is intoxicating, however you are right to follow the advice.
For Void's sake, stay out of my head. Come on, the blade is close.
Clay smiles while walking through the door.
It can be hard sometimes, but having people you can trust is huge.
Not paying attention, he walks into a rope going across the bottom of the doorway. It breaks, causing a giant axe to swoop down, slicing him in half. Rose runs over and falls to her knees.
I see your friend was a worthless nothing, a pathetic human just like all colorless.
Shut the fuck up, you monster. I am so sorry. There was nothing I could do.
The friends kneel next to her. Herman points at Clay's body.
It's sad the first time, but just keep watching.
She looks up at Clay's body. The two halves have begun to weirdly move back towards each other. Wesley laughs while picking up half of the body and placing it on the other.
Clay's a very special young man. For some reason, when he dies, he doesn't die. And his body heals, and then he becomes whatever kills him.
Static fills Clay's ears while a light flashes, blinding him. They both disappear, leaving him standing outside of the gray shack. He notices DG sitting on the floor with Colin Strin, Miranda Celli, and Garland Fells. The bubbling sound is heard while the redcaps pass around a pipe.
Must be nice. We're down there almost dying. Well, I died. And you guys are up here smoking more of the good stuff?
DG coughs while blowing the smoke out of his hood.
Whoa, calm down there, man. We're on the lookout for any death guides or imps, and I'm just trying to burn through the last of what I have. You want some?
Clay shakes his head while sitting down next to them. Miranda Celli smiles at him.
So, did you find the imps down there?
Clay sighs.
We did, along with an entire secret city where they live with the cybernetics. We found their leader Irving and found out they have this serum that morphs them into different creatures. He's been Malachi this whole time. Cassandra's been Vlad's dead wife's mom, who killed her and his own butler a fraud, too.
Colin Strin takes a hit while sitting back.
The other two? I can see. But his butler? That's some fucked up shit.
DG nods.
It's pretty unheard of for a butler to betray someone. Man, how did Vlad handle it?
Clay shrugs his shoulders.
It was a little tough on him at first, but he's Vlad. He got back up and was ready to take on a horde of imps while we went after Irving and Marilyn. I walked through a door and wham! A massive axe swung down and sliced me in half.
Garland Fells lies beneath them under the table.
Ah, that would have been cool to see, laddie. Hey, your necklace is flashing blue there too, bud.
Clay looks down at Talbot flashing.
It is time for us to go back. Your friends need you.
Clay waves to the others while his body fades away. The light flashes again, blinding him. It disappears and he swings back and forth in the air as the axe. He leans forward and cuts the rope, dropping him to the ground. Rose watches as Wesley throws Clay's healed body over to Herman.
Here, it's a lot easier for you to carry the dead weight.
Herman laughs while catching the body.
Your jokes are so bad that they just crack me up.
Callie chuckles behind Rose.
You know your jokes suck ass, Wes, but even that one made Clay drop dead.
Clay walks over as the axe.
Don't be alarmed, it's Clay. Sorry to give you a scare like that. I don't know why this happens to me, but yeah, I can't die. Well, that we know of.
Rose, confused at the emotions she's feeling, stands to her feet. She looks at the friend standing with Clay as the axe.
Your humor is somewhat lost on me, especially in this kind of situation, but I am glad that you are all right.
I feel something greater in the human, as if he and I have a connection. Kill him again so I may drink in the decay.
For the love of Kellis, get out of my head. We had an agreement.
Rose shakes her head and then looks up at Callie.
You sure do have a way of dealing with grief.
Callie places her hand on her back.
We wouldn't be able to do half of the shit we are capable of without each other. We get each other through some tough times, and those times are easier when you have people to lean on. Plus, it helps that Clay can't die.
Barry laughs.
It's true. We've all had hardships in life. Our little family is what's gotten us through and saved us from being alone in this messed up, crazy-ass world.
Herman nods while looking around.
Yep, you're only an outcast if you want to be. People are always accepting.
Wesley smiles while trying to lift Clay into the air.
Damn, you're a heavy axe. Sorry, it's always hard to open up to people at first, especially since you run the risk of being hurt. But it's kind of part of life, and when you find friends like this, it's most definitely worth it.
Clay smacks Wesley and pushes him away.
I still can't remember my life before meeting you four. It's hard to even picture one without you guys now.
Rose's smile fades as she turns away from them.
I wish I could forget. I watched everything I loved die, my home destroyed in an instant before my very eyes, the only person left besides for me crushed by the ocean.
Callie grabs her and pulls her in for a hug.
That is so terrible. I am so sorry. I've lost a lot in my long-ass life, but nothing really compares. You never get over what happened, and you may never forgive yourself for being the one that got away and survived. Survivor's guilt is a total bitch. All you can do is move forward with those you've lost looking down on you. Live your life for them. Here is the most difficult part. Try to focus on the fact that even if it was for a short time, at least you had something that you loved and cherished that you were a part of, and eventually, it'll be enough.
Barry wipes the tears from their eyes while walking over to Callie and Rose. Callie embraces Barry while Rose backs away.
Not to be rude, but hugging was a bit too much. Just a bit.
Barry holds Callie tightly.
I understand you so much better now, you psychotic immortal sex goddess. Baby steps, Rose. You'll get there.
Clay laughs while walking past them.
As much as I'd like to join in on this hug fest, I don't want to cut anyone accidentally. Plus, we should catch up to Irving and Marilyn.
The others follow Clay as the giant axe. They run into a room with hundreds of raised podiums and ramps going up to them. In the middle of each sits a machine shaped like a donut. Gold metal runs along the room's edges up to each ramp and into the machine's center. Herman looks closely at it.
This metal is crazy. I've never seen anything like it. And actual gold's never been seen since the Fae. They used to use it to forge their armor and weapons.
Wesley gets excited.
Dude, they had the coolest armor. The army leaders were honored with their own that was customized to even fit their wings. I'd be unstoppable with shit like that.
Rose looks up and sees her black blade encased in another machine. It sits against the ceiling with hundreds of small tubes connecting into it. They run along the walls down to the ground and into each of the machines on the podiums.
I've got a bad feeling about this. If they draw too much power from it, they could die. I can't lose them.
Your compassion is a weakness, Rose.
A door opens up on the ceiling next to the blade. Irving and Marilyn fly out with more imps following behind them. Clay yells up to them.
Don't do this. You're going to cause more damage than you think. Let the blade go and turn yourselves in.
Marilyn laughs while nodding at Irving. He flies down towards them with a teleportation device.
We'll give you one last chance to leave our home with no harm coming to any of you. This device will teleport you back to your friends. Getting high next to our mining shed.
He tosses the device down to them. Callie catches it and hands it over to Rose.
It's your friend up there. You take it.
Rose takes the device and looks at it for a couple of moments. She turns to Herman and hands it to him.
You know how to use this thing, right? When I give the signal, I trust you to do whatever is necessary.
Herman nods while taking it.
Everyone always relies on me to make the right call in these situations, so don't worry.
She turns to Clay.
I need a weapon. Clay, you mind lending me your help?
Clay smiles wide while walking over to her.
It would be an honor. Let's kick some ass.
She hoists him into the air and stands, ready to fight.
Now I'm trusting you guys on this.
Barry and Wesley float in the air while Herman stands tall behind her. Callie walks over to Wesley and smiles. He sighs while lowering back down towards her.
Fine, but after we get through this, we're making Barry stronger so they can carry you.
She laughs while hopping onto his back. Callie drops one of her knives down to Herman.
For someone so intelligent, you sure aren't ever prepared for shit.
He catches it and readies himself behind Rose. Marilyn laughs while Irving flies back up to her. So it appears that they won't use the device until they get the blade back. We knew this would happen, so that's why we put the tracker inside of it. When they use the device, it'll activate the energy wave and surround them. They'll never know it's on them unless, for some strange reason, an EMP goes off nearby. The two laugh before abruptly stopping. Irving yells to the imp horde flying behind him and Marilyn.
Attack! Don't let them get the blade! We need it to open the portals to our masters! We're this close to transcending to them!
He and Marilyn fly down to the center of the room to a computer console. They activate the machines, causing the one with the blade to start spinning. It slowly starts to speed up as Rose charges at the imps, swinging Clay around as the axe. She dodges to the side and blocks an attack from one, while Herman jumps in with a knife and stabs it in the back. He lunges forward at another one coming at Rose, while she uses both hands to launch Clay ahead, piercing the three imps coming towards them. She runs after it and grabs Clay from the wall, causing the dead imps to fall to the ground. Wesley flies above them, swiping his claws at the imps as they pass by, while Callie does the same thing with her knife while riding on his back. Barry flies behind them, getting the last hit in on the imps with her two daggers. Herman yells to Rose.
All right, Rose, let's switch up for a little bit.
She nods her head and tosses Clay to him and catches Callie's knife. Clay yells to her as Herman swings him around, cutting into the imps around them.
Go for your blade. We'll cover you and make sure you get there. Herm, I need to be something smaller to help her up there.
Rose runs towards the wall and jumps onto it. She turns and uses the wall as leverage to leap high into the air. An imp flies by that she grabs onto. She takes the knife and stabs it in the back.
Do what I say or this blade will be the last thing you ever feel. Get me to the black blade now.
The imp whimpers before nodding and slowly flying up toward it. Marilyn and Irving notice. She waves her hand at him. I don't know why you're looking at me like that. We both know who gets to transcend first. Irving scoffs while flapping his wings. He flies into the air after Rose. Herman stands below holding a shuriken that one of the dead imps had on him. He kneels and pierces it into Clay as the axe. A couple of seconds pass by as another dying imp watches it all happen.
Damn it, Fred. You knew you weren't a ninja. You've doomed us all.
Herman takes Clay as the shuriken and gets ready to throw him.
Damn it. Irving is too far now. I have to aim for Wesley.
He hops forward and throws Clay with all his strength. He flies through the air, passing right by Barry, fighting another imp. They watch as Clay zooms towards Wesley and Callie.
Heads up! Clay needs a boost!
He flies up next to them and starts to slow down. Callie notices and jumps off Wesley. She grabs Clay and smiles wide while using everything she has to throw him higher into the air.
Wesley, it's up to your little dragon ass to get Clay to Rose. Barry, I hope you've been hitting the gym because your strength training starts now.
Barry slices the imp and takes off toward Callie. They catch her and struggle to stay floating. Herman chases after them and dives. He catches them just before they hit the ground. Barry laughs.
Pixie physiques aren't built for this. Cthulhu, if you spare our lives now, I swear I will hit the gym every elder goddamn day.
Callie laughs while patting Herman on the arm.
Science lab confirmed.
Herman smiles while putting the two of them on the ground.
See, I told you cardio is super important.
They laugh while looking up at Wesley as he catches Clay and flies up toward the ceiling as fast as possible. Clay looks down and sees the imps gaining on them.
We're not gonna make it, Wes. Don't risk your life for this. They're after me. Just toss me to the side and get out of here.
Wesley laughs while flapping his wings faster.
Are you serious? Come on, bro. I'm a fucking dragon. We got this.
One of the imps grabs him and he kicks him off.
Ready, Clay? It's now or never.
He whips himself around, flinging Clay upward.
The imps catch up to Wesley and fly past him, going after Clay. He smiles and takes a deep breath.
Nobody's getting in the way of this glorious moment.
He shoots out a ball of fire that hits one of the imps, igniting him. He panics and hits another imp, causing him to catch on fire too. The same thing continues to happen, leaving Clay alone, flying towards Rose. She turns around to see Clay pierce into the back of Irving.
You don't know how screwed you are right now, Irving. Or Malachi. Mervakai.
Irving struggles to reach behind his back to pull Clay out.
Damn! I knew I should have done those stretches! I've never been flexible!
He uses his tail to smack Clay off his back. He starts to fall back down toward the ground, but Rose controls the imp she's on and swoops down after him. She catches him and gets behind Irving. He stops and looks down at them.
You're just about out of time. Only a few more minutes, and the transfer will be complete. We'll have enough power to open hundreds of portals at once. Once they're steady, we're going to combine them, creating the master portal to lead us to the one place we've yet to get to, our master's home.
Rose flies to the side and speeds past him toward the blade. But Irving pulls out a knife and throws it at her. She swerves out of the way at the last second before looking back at him.
Who are your masters and why did they rely on you to fulfill their plans?
Irving laughs.
You wouldn't be able to comprehend the power of these beings. If you can prove yourself to them, you'll get whatever you want after transcending. None have done it, and we will be the first after thousands of years. You won't stand in our way.
He flies forward and grabs onto the imp Rose is riding. Irving stabs the imp, killing him and causing Rose and Clay to fall. She catches Clay and reaches up for Irving. Her hand latches onto his foot, causing him to descend slowly.
No! Let go! You'll kill all three of us!
He struggles to break free as Rose takes his kicks while looking at Clay.
Come colorless. All you have to do is draw me and the world can be yours.
I can trust you, right? Get the blade.
She swings her arm around and launches Clay up toward the blade. He pierces into the machine and watches as Rose climbs on top of Irving and rides him down to the ground. She lands next to the friends and becomes surrounded by Marilyn and the other imps. Let him go! Rose looks around and sees that they're outnumbered. She pushes Irving over to her and puts her hands up with Wesley, Barry, Herman, and Callie. Marilyn laughs. I should kill you now, but what fun would that be? I want there to be proof that the imps were the first to transcend with the masters. Tie them up and set them in the center of the room. They'll be able to see the show from there. Hurry, we need everyone to be ready and in front of a portal when they open. The imps scurry around and tie them all up. They take them and move them to the room's center, like she said. Rose smiles at the others.
Just do what they say. Clay has the blade.
Irving walks over and looks at each of them closely.
Android, elf, pixie, orc, dragon. That seems to be all of them. The only other thing they had on them was that... Shit! Clay isn't here!
Marilyn flies over and looks at the friends. Where is your death-shifting friend? If only he remembered who he truly was. She flies away looking for him while Irving paces back and forth. Callie looks up and yells at him.
What the fuck did you say, bitch? How do you know about Clay? What the fuck does she mean by that?
Irving ignores her and continues to pace back and forth. Wesley yells at him.
Hey! Dickface, my friend is talking to you. What the fuck do you know about Clay?
Irving stops and walks over to Wesley. He smacks him before kneeling in front of him.
He's a confused and lost soul who has incredible power. One day he'll remember, and this family of yours will be destroyed. I'd get rid of him before that happens.
He walks away laughing. Barry looks up toward the machine.
Man, Clay would never betray us. He's family for life, just like in the Fates and the Ferociousness. We drank to it for fuck's sake. He can do this.
Herman nods his head.
It will be tough for him when he regains his memories. We need to be there for him when it happens. And Clay will figure something out to stop the machine.
As a friend struggle to break free, the imps stand still, staring into the machines on the podiums. The green energy starts to fuse with the black energy from the blade. It shoots through the tubes and opens the portals on the hundreds of platforms below. Clay climbs around the machines on the ceiling as the shuriken. He finds a crack in the glass that he can squeeze through. He gets to the other side and looks at the mechanism spinning in front of him.
I don't know why I'm thinking about this. It's an easy decision.
He leaps forward to his death, getting hit numerous times by the spinning mechanism. A couple of seconds pass and it stops. Clay forms his arms and legs and breaks off the machine. The green energy starts to seep out while the black energy shoots back into the blade. It starts to move around but can't break free. Clay looks around and notices a transparent barrier keeping it trapped.
Shit, I wish Herman was up here with me. I don't know how to get through this.
He reaches forward trying to break through, but it knocks him back. He regains his balance and looks around at the machine, still somewhat intact.
Maybe if I bring this entire thing down, it'll free the blade up. Or at least it'll be down on the ground for Herman or Rose to get you out.
As Clay breaks the machine on the ceiling, the portals start to close slowly. Marilyn yells out to the imps. I am the only one to go through. I'll explain everything to the masters and return to save all of you. She jumps through the closing portal and vanishes. The other imps look around before turning to Irving. He raises his hand and gets ready to talk, but instead he turns and jumps into the portal right before it closes. The other imps start to panic as the machine above them begins to fall. Vlad and Impard Butler come running into the room.
Did they escape with the blade? What happened?
He and Impard run over to the friends and untie them. Impard looks to his people.
My fellow imps, I have been a double agent working with Vlad, hoping that we could overthrow Irving and Marilyn. Look what they've done. We've been in hiding for over 1,000 years. We're not the villains everyone makes us out to be. Not anymore. Irving and Marilyn abandoned you because of their obsession to transcend with these so-called masters that they have only ever talked to.
The imps whisper to each other before kneeling to Impard. Vlad laughs while patting him on the back.
Looks like you're the new leader of your people, old friend. The cybernetics in this city need someone like you to learn from. When you think they're ready, we should have them join us on the surface world, yeah?
Impard smiles while hugging Vlad.
We'll be in touch. There's a lot to discuss going forward.
He watches as Impard walks away to the other imps. He turns around to the others and watches the blade and Clay fall from the ceiling. Rose catches her blade while Clay smashes down onto the ground. His necklace flashes blue on his body over in the corner before flying toward him and piercing his broken metal body. His eyes open and he moves the debris covering his human body.
Seriously, Herm? How'd I end up against the wall under all that shit?
Herman shrugs his shoulders.
I mean, there was a battle going on, so it just kind of seems safer over there.
Clay laughs while walking past him.
I'm just messing around. Thanks for stashing it over there. Hey, Rose, how's the blade looking? You able to get back home with it?
She holds it tightly while smiling. A bright green eye opened within its crystal structure.
Yes, as long as the imps' portals don't interfere again, I will be able to get home. Thank you all for your help. If it wasn't for you, the world could have been destroyed.
Barry walks over and opens their arms up for her. Rose takes a couple seconds before leaning forward and hugging them.
I guess a hug wouldn't hurt.
The others run over and join in for a group hug. The eye within the blade rolls in disgust.
You're pathetic.
Shut up already.
They get interrupted by Vlad getting a call from his science lab.
Hello, Griselda, is this you?
Silence fills the air for a moment. Finally, Leroy speaks.
The book, Vlad! We need to fulfill the prophecy! It's the only way to transcend and bring magic back to our world!
Vlad puts the phone on speaker before calmly speaking to Leroy.
Leroy, listen to me right now. You are on speakerphone, so everybody can hear you. What have you done with Griselda and the others? If you have harmed any of them?
Leroy laughs maniacally.
How dare you put me on speakerphone, you dick! All of them are fine for now. Just get back to the science lab and bring the half of the book you have.
The phone hangs up as Vlad turns to the others.
I'm sorry, but if we're done here, we need to get going.
Rose takes her blade. Black blood drains from the crystal and scorches the ground like acid. She swipes it through the air, opening a portal. She nods to all of them.
Thank you all for showing me how to trust again. You are welcome to Haven anytime you wish. However, you should probably take care of all of this first.
The friends say their goodbyes.
Chin up, tits out. Remember, even if you're living your life for them, this life is still yours. Miss you already.
And don't forget to open those robo arms every once in a while for some hugs. I don't know what the android equivalent of dopamine is, but I'm sure you'll love it.
You're a badass. Just keep doing you and you'll get where you want to be.
Just remember, you're not an outcast unless you let yourself become one.
She smiles and waves to them before jumping through the portal. It implodes with a crackle of black energy behind her while Herman walks over to Vlad.
I really liked her. Not gonna lie, I'm glad cybernetics are back.
Wesley follows behind with Barry and Callie.
I'm sure they have a ton to offer to science. And I'm sure Callie's very excited that they're back too.
She stretches her arms into the air.
You bet your sweet ass I am. They can do things that you can't even imagine doing. Luckily for me, I have a wild imagination.
Barry smacks her on the back.
God, really makes you picture it, doesn't it?
Clay looks around, confused.
So, what does that mean for our world now? How will cybernetics come into play?
Vlad chuckles while leading the way out of the Citadel.
I think it will be a good thing for our world. We just have to make sure they feel welcomed in Unity's dream. Now let's get the fuck out of here.
Herman steps forward and pulls out the teleportation device.
All right, well, let's see if this thing will actually work.
He presses the button, causing orange energy to flow out of the device. It surrounds them and causes them to vanish from the city. They appear in front of the gray shack inside of a smoke cloud. DG coughs.
Oh, shit. You guys are back already? How'd it go?
Callie scoffs.
Already? What? How fucked up are you? Whatever. Fuck it. Pass that shit.
Vlad stops Miranda Celli from passing her the pipe.
No, there's no time to be stoned right now. We must get back to Science Lab and save my scientists.
Callie stands to her feet with irritation.
I mean, that's all fine and dandy and everything, but once we save them, you know exactly what's going to happen.
The six of them walk away from DG and the stoned redcaps back to Vlad's portal potty inside in Trozda. Colin Strem yells out to them.
Stay in the forest and you'll get there quicker.
He erupts into laughter with the others while taking a hit from the pipe. Epilogue. Black blood pooled around the massive blade. Neon purple glowed around the hilt as Rose gripped it tightly.
You do realize that bringing me back could doom their world. My power is too great for any mortal to control for long.
The black blade said through Rose.
As long as I can keep you away from the Elven, Haven will always stay safe. And as for them, your power seems to be weakened by the lack of color. I think it will be fine.
Rose replied, hoping that her caloric systems were too complex for the blade to take control of her body.
You hold love for those idiots, don't you?
The blade replied through her. Rose stood still for just a moment before she swung the giant blade through the air. A gaping maw opened in the space before her. The air crackled as the black mass imploded. Through the hazed red of dozens of environmental warning messages, Rose spotted her friends.
You truly are pathetic.
The blade spoke, and Rose shook her head.
You would never understand. Yes, I feel love for them. Why wouldn't I?
She replied, then stepped forward into the portal, the black mass imploding once again as it disappeared from Haven. A shadow moved. A tree shook and a ghost moved forward, multiple copies blinking in and out of existence. Crouching low, the shadow examines the shimmering air where the portal had been. A smile crosses thin lips. The connection made, a ghost begins his hunt.
What an episode. It had everything. Drama, action, music. Speaking of, how'd you guys like the songs that were played in the episode?
Oh man, they were something. You know, Velikor was pretty dope, and Ned Leerin even moved me a little bit, but they had shit on Rose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not that I know the other two artists, Velikor and or Ned Leerin, but Rose definitely just wiped them to the curb, you know?
Yeah, different level.
Wiped them to the curb.
Yeah.
I'd say Rose killed it.
Kicked them to the curb. No, wiped them to the curb. You heard what I said. Ethan?
Rose did good. The other guys there, they need some work. They'll get there.
Yeah, I don't think Simon would have liked
Simon
them.
Simon Cowell.
Yeah.
So you guys approve of Rose, and you're saying Velikor and Ned Leerin weren't good?
No, I'm not saying that.
I don't know about weren't good.
I think you guys are going to be really like upset and jealous when you realize Velikor's about to sign a record deal. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I feel like Ned Leran stole his song from somewhere else. I just can't place it.
Or somebody hired Ned. Somebody hired Ned Leran to do an intro song for their other segment that somebody may happen to do. I don't know. What do you guys know about that? Nothing. So, moving along, besides the music, there was some other pretty cool things that happened in the Imposters episode. Malachi and Cassandra were imps the whole time.
Mind blown.
That I can't believe Goulard. Goulard Butler betrayed my boy Vlad that way. Except for, I guess, he didn't really in the end. But it seemed like it at first, and that was upsetting.
He did a good acting job.
He was a double imp agent.
Or should we say she, since Tori voices Impard now. So before we go, we want to invite everyone to join our Discord server. If you don't know what it is or don't have it, you can download the app on your phone or computer, or you can just log into a web browser and go to discord.com. The invite link for you to join will be posted in the episode description below. Join the Death Shifter family and chat with the awesome community.
Yeah, that's all the time we have for this week's episode. We hope you enjoyed it, and we again want to thank Anchor for giving us an easy and reliable place to make our podcast. Remember to follow us on YouTube, Pandora, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Discord, or just go to our website at www.deathshifter.com. You know, I don't really need to read W. Everyone knows what the World Wide Web is at this point. Or just go to our website at deathshifter.com. You'll find all of the links there as well as down below in the episode description. If you're interested in supporting us and gaining access to exclusive trailers, bonus episodes, and more content, check out patreon.com/deathshifter. Don't forget to subscribe and share the Death Shifter name. And make sure to check out the episode description for the links to Rose's music and the Ember Witch Saga. Thanks for listening, and remember,
don't forget to tip your death card.
Just don't do it, tip 'em!